from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who's here to take you, like, I don't want to tease this episode too early, but the podcaster that somehow missed something so obvious, this is a Tale of the Tape episode, or Tale of the Tapes. I caught, in the sequel, I realized the pun, but in the first one, I didn't. But, you know, however you view the word Argyle, whether that's for socks or sweaters or a movie with Bruce Willis or the movie that's about to come out that reminded me of an earlier film. And that this film, I'm looking forward to seeing Argyle. Probably, maybe I've already seen it by the time this comes out. But this is I thought this was a sleep podcast. What am I listening to? Is this like film muck? Film? Well, it is in this episode. Yes, welcome to Sleep With Me. I'm glad you're here. It is a very different show. I totally acknowledge that. I hear you. And I'm here more to keep you company while you fall asleep, to barely entertain you and take your mind off of stuff. So, yeah, give the show a few tries. What we got coming up is support, so the podcast can be free for everybody that likes it that way. Then there's a long, meandering intro that's meant to ease you into bedtime and help you wind down. And I'll, like, keep going like this, where I can't even explain what the podcast is. But that's kind of, yeah, I don't know. I'm here to, it's like a TV on in the other room. And then there'll be a story later. It'll be a bedtime story of me trying to remember the plot of two films. And yeah, so it's a podcast. It does take a few tries to get used to. So give it a try and see how it goes. You got nothing to lose. I also have a website set up, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. And that has other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there you could check out. So check that out. But I'm glad you're here. I'm already, like, this is just supposed to be the teaser. I'm really glad you're here, though. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it can be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, like, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who support the sponsors, who take action. That's how we're able to be here for you free twice a week, is those people. I know so many people enjoy this ad-supported linear show, and I'm so glad we get to do it for you, and it's with all these people's help. And I want to thank Josie, who signed up for a referral program. Josie already earned 3 months of ad-free episodes and story-only episodes on Sleep With Me Plus, referred 3 people to the show for free, just sharing about it on social media, letting people know about it. You could sign up and you could be like Josie. You just have to share on a regular basis. You earn referrals, you introduce people to the free podcast, and then you get the paid version of the podcast in return. And all you need to do is go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer and then let me know about it. So thank you, Josie. So that's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of support right now, fill out, just go to the show notes. There's links to resources, including international resources you could connect with. It's also about being a part of positive change, taking action, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources. We could do that in the show notes, or you could join some of the things we're doing, supporting the Midnight Mission and people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles, supporting the Trevor Project, and supporting Hand in Hand. So wherever your heart is, wherever your heart aches, you could take action. You don't have to help us support one of those organizations, but you can. Or you could go out there and support something else, you know, just to be a part of positive change. But you could always check out the show notes for more information if you want to support one of those organizations and join us. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch. support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, you want ad, you say, I prefer an ad-free experience. I prefer story-only episodes, but I want it for free. You could earn it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. You just introduce people to the free podcast, and you could earn months of ad-free episodes of Sleep With Me and story-only episodes of Sleep With Me and Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. We say we slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, things on your mind about the past, the present, the future, thinking thoughts. It could be feelings related to those thoughts, any emotions that are coming up for you. It could be changes, any physical sensations you're experiencing. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine, work schedules, travel. You could be going through something, getting over something, or anticipating something. Or it could be something else. And the only reason I list all that stuff is so that you know you're not alone. Or maybe you don't even know it, right? I don't know if I say that as a turning phrase. Is that a coining phrase or a turning phrase? I have no idea, but I just say that because my experience and a lot of listeners' experience is that it feels lonely in the deep, dark night. Not everybody feels that way. Maybe it feels that way when people don't understand, like why you can't sleep. But the important thing is, whatever's keeping you awake, I may be able to relate to how it feels. Maybe I haven't been through something similar. But deep down, I might have some of the similar feelings. But even if I don't, even if I can't relate to how you feel, even if I haven't been through something similar, there is someone listening right now, and they are sitting up, they're perking up before they get comfortable again, because they have been through something similar. They do know how you feel. And I know this. I know that they're kind of leaning in and they're nodding their head for you because they're saying, yeah, I've been through something tough that kept me awake. Or maybe it was something, some people, they can't sleep because of positive anticipation or whatever it is. There's someone out there who can relate to how you feel. And the other side of that is the reason I work so hard on this show and I've been doing this over 10 years, riding the ups and downs, is because I think it's important you get the sleep you deserve. I mean, that's how I felt about myself when I couldn't sleep. I said, man, why can't I just get the sleep I need? And I believe that for you. I believe you deserve a bedtime you don't have to dread, especially starting on Friday, dreading about going to bed on Sunday. A bedtime you could look forward to or at least feel neutral about, and the rest you need so your life is more manageable. So that's why I make the show. Those are the two reasons. What I'll do here is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, which means I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to forget what I was talking about. Then I'll double back. Then I'll say, what was I talking about? And get mixed up. But it's all to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep. It's kind of different. This show is not a show you really listen to. You just kind of listen to it. Now, you could listen. Believe me, I'm going to be here to the very end. But it's kind of a podcast that's just out of focus. Some people listen to me at a mumble. Some people listen to me, you can kind of see how it goes, but you don't have to pay attention. I'm not competing. Well, I am competing for barely any of your attention. I'm trying to say, hey, look over here and barely listen to me. So it's a podcast you don't listen to. Also doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff. The reason the shows are over an hour is so there's no pressure to fall asleep. There are people listening who need a break during the day or who just can't sleep. And so I'm here to the very end, whether you're awake or asleep. I really think that's one of the strange things that makes the podcast work. I'm here so you don't need to listen to me. I'm here not to put you to sleep and somehow that helps you fall asleep. I'm just here to distract you. I'm here to be your boyfriend, a friendly voice in the deep, dark night, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor, your boar bee, your boar burr, your boars, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar ba, your boar bud. That's a new one. That was, it's kind of boar bud, boar bruh, boar ba. That sounds like something like a toddler or a sleep podcaster would say. Who's that? That's my borba. Oh, really? Is that, yeah, it's my borba. It's also, it's like a combination of a strange uncle and a wubby. Okay, so borba. Hopefully I'll remember that. I don't think I will. And then the funny thing is this will come out like, and then people will remind me. So there'll be a gap, borba. So yeah, just see how it goes. When you first get to this podcast, if you're new, you may be experiencing some of these feelings, not like they could be anywhere along strong to mild, because this of like, what did I just tune into? Skepticism, doubt, frustration, irritation, even because this show is very different. You may have expected something different. You may have expected something reasonable and a little bit more serious or a little bit more, I don't know, like one of those triangles or a Tibetan bowl. And yet, like, you know, that was my last time there. They said, are you eating out of the Tibetan bowl? And I just was like, you know what I mean? It's like I realized it's a musical, it's like, yeah, and a cook. Yeah, by the way, I'm cooking dinner in the kettle drum. And then I realized that was, that was the last time I was invited to many different places. So while I was looking for a bowl and I knew this was a bowl, don't worry, I rinsed it out. I'll rinse it out again. Don't worry. Those are, those fruity pebbles, I can scratch them out with my fingertips or we'll soak it. So that's how the Tibetan bowls get used around here. I mean, I like Tibetan bowls. Don't get me wrong. Just not at bedtime or when I'm meditating. It's just that. I mean, I do like listening to them. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not anti Tibetan bowls for usage or listening. It's just that in the traditional Tibetan bowl circumstances, if I could like a. I'm not kidding. I use Tibetan bowls on my timers and other things, non-meditation timer, because I want to keep a positive association with Tibetan bowls, not that it's reminding me I'm not meditating and I'm paying, you know, I'm thinking about the stuff I got to do. So you could be mildly or stronger irritated. The thing is, this podcast, it just takes some getting used to. So give it a few tries. I said at the beginning, I'll say it again. Sorry, like, you didn't hear it, but I just got a call from a company about something, so now I'm distracted. But so I think I was saying that it does take a couple tries to get used to the show because it is very different. I'm different, but just see how it goes and see if the podcast helps. Most people, that subscribe to the paid version of the podcast said it took two or three tries. At first, I didn't know what to expect, or I didn't like it, or I didn't listen for years, and then I came back. So see how it goes. There's no pressure to like me or the podcast either. There's tons of other sleep podcasts. I have a bunch listed at sleepwithmepodcast.com/no-thank-you. So yeah, there's no pressure. Like really, like that's a cool thing. And the longer I make the show, the more I realize it. It's like, hey, this just doesn't work for everybody. It's just one of those things that if it works for you, even some people have been listening the whole history of the show and some people come and go, but you say, oh, I didn't realize I was looking for something like this, this friend, a goofy friend in the deep, dark night to keep me company. I had no idea, but I've been looking for it my whole life. So, and it doesn't have to be that version of it, right? So just see how it goes. And if not, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. And again, if you're a Tibetan bowl manufacturer, like, good job. Your bowls don't leak. I mean, obviously, I mean, that's one of the things that's clear. Like a little tinge of something on there. You know, I said, well, maybe I should have rinsed it twice. I think it was like, you know, the essence of, you know, whatever. But so, okay, so what else do you need to know if you're new? Structure the show also can throw people off. And the show is designed in a very deliberate way, but it is adjustable. So let me lay out why we structure the show the way we do. It starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Ideally, I say something slightly silly after that. So if you're seen and welcomed in, and you get that the tone of the show, it, even though sleep is serious, that it's somewhat lighthearted and friendly, but a bit different too. And you say, okay, I might check that podcast out. Then there's support, sponsor support. So the show's free. Paying for it is optional. And the majority of people love listening to the show in that manner, and they listen linearly. So I'll lay out the linear-wise. But again, there's a bunch of different ways if you'd prefer to listen to different versions of the show, or you could use your podcast app to adjust it. So then there's a long meandering intro, which we're in the middle of or late stages of. And the long meandering intro is separate from the greeting and from the support. But for some reason, if you're having a strong reaction to the beginning of the show, it gets the intro gets lumped in with that. So I do like to point out that it is a show within a show. It is about 15 or 20 minutes long, and it's not intended to put you to sleep. It will put some people to sleep. And once you become a regular listener, there's some people that just fall asleep right away. But for most people, and the way the intro is really designed, is to be like a familiar friend who talks about something different every time. But the intro is 15 to 20 minutes long to help ease you into bedtime as you're getting ready for bed or getting comfortable or winding down. And that's just what's been shown to work over the years, what's worked for me personally and what I hear from listeners. Now, there are a percentage of people, like 2% of people start the show somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. And then there's a lot of people that subscribe to story-only version of the podcast, but there's also people that subscribe to intro-only version of the podcast. So you could kind of see how it goes as and adjust as you become a regular listener if the show works for you. But the intro is a slow wind down. Then there's support after the intro, and then tonight after the intro, I'll tell a bedtime story about my trying to remember the plot of the movie Romancing the Stone and Romancing the Stone sequel, Jewel of the Nile. And I'll just give you full disclosure. I won't sing full disclosure, but a full disclosure that that's from Big Fish the Musical, the song. I like that song. Like, if you like Broadway, look up Big Fish the Musical. Andrew Lippa, John August, full disclosure. Now I got to cry. I'm like, please, I know it's full disclosures from that, right? Hopefully. Now I'm totally mixed up. Full disclosure. How did I start talking about Big Fish the Musical? Oh, so because I forgot, I didn't realize that the title, Romancing the Stone, had like the vehicle for the story in it. I mean, the romancing part I got. But somehow, I totally mistook the plot of the movie to have nothing to do with a stone, like a jewel, the Jewel of the Nile. I realized that one was a pun or whatever. But Romancing the Stone, I don't know why. So I talk about the movie, and I'm trying to figure out what everybody's after in the movie. And I had to actually, Wikipedia had to tell me, like, dude, they're looking for, like, Wikipedia doesn't always do this, but it was like, dude, they're looking for a stone, Romancing the Stone. Oh, I thought it was like a briefcase or something, you know, with, you know, or, you know, like other things that I speculate on in a little while. But no, it's, they're looking for, you know, how do you find the stone? Oh, okay. So, yeah, many, you know, that's why I'm only qualified to make a sleep podcast. And that's, you know, and I can give you a spoiler of how I'll get confused, you know, right up front. So if you're new, just see how it goes. I'm really glad you checked out this podcast. I work really hard. So do a team of people because we all yearn and strive. We all really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to be here for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Hey. All right, boys, Scoots here, and this is... this is an episode. I'm wondering how it's going to go. This is kind of a tale of the tape hybrid episode. So where I kind of talk about a movie, or in this case, two movies that I've seen that I have a very vague recollection of. But first, we're going to talk about why, right? Because I like to go to the movies in the movie theater. And I try even now to find films and say, okay, like whether it's a first run film or some sort of, festival or a second run or whatever it is. I love going to the movies. And I've seen a trailer for a movie twice in the last two movies, and it really made a connection for me. The movie's called Argyle. This is not a sponsored thing or anything. It comes out, you're probably hearing this, is because it comes out in February 2024. And part of the reason I'm excited about it is Sam Rockwell in it, as well as Bryce Dallas Howard, Dua Lipa. That's how I first heard about it. But so I saw the trailer for this movie, and it looks really good. I will probably see it in the theater, but it also reminded me, because at first when I heard about it, I was like, what's this movie? It's some sort of thriller. But then when you see the trailer, I said to myself, this is a bit like Romancing the Stone. Different, but similar. So I'm going to talk about the movie Romancing the Stone. And it's, what is it, sequel called? Let's see, Romancing the Stone. Oh boy, I hit the wrong button though. And its sequel was called Jewel of the Nile. Now, I just want to see a couple things. It had Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito were the stars of the movie. Came out in the 80s. And when did Jewel of the Nile come out? Jewel of the Nile came out, what year? 1985, and same top three stars, three very talented performers, I would say, and people I loved seeing back then. The interesting thing is I was way too young to see either of these movies, but for some reason I feel like I saw, this gets into why is this important. So Jewel of the Nile would have been when I had my paper route, and it looks like I was too young to see it, but I saw it in the movie theater, because what happened was this was where the podcast was formed. So I'd probably seen Romancing the Stone on HBO, and then Jewel of the Nile came out, and again, maybe it was PG. I don't think they had invented PG-13 yet. But so this was this brief time in my life's history where I had a paper route, so I had money. I had, I'm the oldest of six kids. So I was still, like, this would not, even as a parent, like, I consider myself a pretty open-minded. I would have not allowed this. But it was pretty flexible childhood I had. Well, let's see when that movie came out, what time of year. And so I would go. And I would go to the movie theater by myself or sometimes with a friend. And I would go to, like I would go to pretty much every movie that was in these theaters that I could walk to, which was a double theater. I think it only had two screens. It may have had, yeah, I'm pretty sure it only had two screens. Just looking through the reviews and stuff, it was around a 6.1. This one says, not abysmal, but not as good as the first one. Just trying to see. Oh, see, the release date was December 11th, 1985. So I probably saw it during our holiday break. Its budget was $25 million, and it brought in worldwide $96 million. So that's a pretty successful movie. And they don't make movies like that anymore, $25 million budget movies. That was the sequel, which we'll talk about as well. Because, Robert Zemeckis was the director? Wow, we're learning a lot here of Romancing the Stone. Okay, did not know that. It's written by Diane Thomas. And let's see who directed Jewel of the Nile. Louis Teague. Wow, so this is interesting stuff. Was there a third one? No, I don't think so. Okay, so, yeah, so I saw the second movie. I definitely saw the first movie before I saw it. And the, let's talk about what I remember about the movie, right? Pretty sure. Why is her name Joan? Popped right in my head. That rarely happens. Let's just see if I have that right. Joan Wilder. Okay. And Jack Colton. Okay. So in this movie, I wonder if that's the name of her character. Well, we can look up facts later. So here's what I remember about Romancing the Stone. I guess let's do some research about it on Wikipedia. Why don't we do that first? Romancing. How's everybody doing tonight? It's good to have this loose format where I could take your mind off of stuff and put you to sleep. Okay, I'm not going to read through the plot or anything, right? We'll save that, and then we'll read through it afterwards. And also look up where we could watch it. Okay, so Romancing the Stone came out in 1984, 106 minutes long. It had a budget of $10 million and made $115 million. And originally it was written by Diane Thomas in 1979. And Zemeckis was working on Cocoon, but liked it and offered to direct it. They turned down at first. And Zemeckis moved on from Cocoon, and the initial early screening, what does that mean? Alan Silvestri would collaborate with Zemeckis on later films, compose the score. I don't know, that doesn't make any sense, but it sounds like they made the movie. Plot and cast, we don't need that. Production 5 years earlier. Oh, Diane Thomas was working in Malibu. Sylvester Stallone was originally considered to be Jack Colton. Other leads considered were Burt Reynolds, Clint Eastwood, Paul Newman, Christopher Reeve, all for Jack Colton, and Deborah Winger as Joan Wilder. It was filmed around the world. Reception. They thought it was not good. Studio insiders did not think it would be successful. However, it became a surprise hit and 20th Century Fox's only big hit in 1984. It was the sixth highest grossing film in 1984. And this would allow, oh, wow, really did lead into the history of podcasts. This success allowed Zemeckis to make Back to the Future. Wow, it holds an 86% approval rating. So it's pretty well approved on the tomato meter. Some people, critics, though, said it was a bit like a copy of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So there's a lot of stuff about the reviews. Let's just see where, we'll just load up Just Watch. See where we can watch these movies here in the U.S. at least. Can't, you know, recommend it for everybody, but R-O-M-A-N, Romancing the Stone. Okay, 6.9 on IMDb, though. It looks like you do have to purchase it at this time. I mean, you know, can rent it, stream it on any platform. Not available for streaming on TV. Now, that's unfortunate. And then Jewel of the Nile, same thing. Not available on streaming, but you could rent it. So, okay, so that's probably, so I haven't seen this movie, either one of these movies, in a long, long time. So I'm going to lay out maybe what I remember about the movie, probably be very wrong. Now, like a lot of movies, this I think this movie was based on a lot of presumptions about industries and ways of life and glorified New York City publishing in a way to start with. So Joan Wilder, played by Kathleen Turner, was... like a romance writer, incredibly successful romance writer. And the main character in the movie, and she has her normal, ordinary world. We'll just start with a kind of basic plot where we would start a movie. She's an incredibly successful writer. I would bet that either in this movie or the second movie, She's late on her book, but I'm not positive about that. But I can see her doing like book signings and book readings, and she's beloved by the people that love her and her main character, Jack Colton, who is like some strapping hero, like Indiana Jones. I guess she writes like Indiana Jones romances. I mean, I don't know what year Indiana Jones came out in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, maybe 82, 84, which is interesting, that timing. I guess we got to look that up now. Wait, so let's get these dates down. This is like an anthropology class, huh? No? Okay. So part of me just was like, that's hilarious, dude. Okay, we're going to need IMDb for that one. Okay, we got to get back. Not now. Romancing the Stone was 84. Okay, let's get back. Raiders, all right. D, 81. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay, so in 81 was when Raiders came out. So this is a romance based on an Indiana Jones-style character. I mean, loosely. I mean, not one-to-one. And Joan Wilder's incredibly successful. I like this. For me, I say, okay, I like it. Kathleen Turner. Now, of course, like one of the elements of these, you know, we've made our own rom-com episodes, is that Kathleen Turner, of course, is unsuccessful. As a romance writer, you can't be successful in romance. It's in a movie that has comedic elements. So, of course, her character, I think, is constantly being fixed up on dates that are unsuccessful. And so that's another plot point is, oh, when are you going to settle, you know, her outside pressures from her family and her friends? When are you going to meet the right person? And he said, can't you just let me be? And probably her thing, but also in the back of your mind when you're asked that question, do they know something I don't know? Or, you know, little doubts creep in. I would say that she is also, kind of portrayed as a well-to-do, successful, like New York City style, romance author. I mean, in some sense, archetypal, in not a real way, but, so that means she doesn't go camping. Shorthand for, I don't go camping. And I like to eat at restaurants, and I live in a building with a door person. I think that's pretty, I mean, that's 80s shorthand. If you live in New York City and you live in a building with a door person, you probably don't go camping or on an adventure. You'd be out of place. And if you eat most of your meals at a restaurant. So that's our main character, Joan Wilder. What do we remember? Those are the things I remember, and then I'm guesstimating that she's unlucky in romance or portrayed that way. Maybe can't come up with the idea for whatever her, you know, not her, like, she's probably at least written, I would say, six books so far, but maybe this is her sophomore slump. But I think it's already a successful series, and it's just like, when are you going to get to work or deliver the copy on the next one? I can also see like different manuscripts changing hands. And so, okay, so there's that going. Also at the same time, Joan is very close with her sister. And this is just me. These are pieces I'm putting together. But there's two, the two non-heroic characters are someone and their brother sidekick, who is played by Danny DeVito. And somehow Joan's sister gets involved with them. And in a way where, I don't know if she's like me, she I don't know, in the 80s, powdered sugar was portrayed as, like, was a major plot point in a lot of films. Use of powdered sugar recreationally for, you know, topping off your baking, you know, and also as like the behind the scenes. And so this movie also takes place in Colombia, which was a major source of powdered sugar. And I think that even if it's like on the subtle, just building on what are like not well-founded facts, but that maybe Joan's sister is somehow in Colombia, maybe like linked to something related to powdered sugar, but I could be wrong. Now, and it was as someone that struggled with stuff like, then she may be calling her sister and saying, hey, could you send me like, can you, like, they didn't have Venmo back then or whatever, but, hey, could you hit me up with some cash? You know, I'm a little short this month. And, so she somehow gets involved with these two gentlemen. And I'm pretty sure her sister's played by somebody that we would know. Let's take a look here. Kathleen Turner. Zach Norman is the other. Ira is the other non-positive person. Okay. Holland Taylor plays Gloria, who's like her agent. Mary Ellen Trainer, that's her sister, I think. Elaine. Okay. Now I'm looking at the rest of the cast and I'm like, wait a second. I don't really know. I'm starting to lose who is who, but I'm also starting to see scenes and I can picture some of the trailer moments from one of these movies, which is like four-wheel driving, running, and stuff like that. Okay, so those are the elements. Then somehow Joan's sister either gets in her involvement with Danny DeVito and his sibling or partner. They say, okay, well, we're going to maybe your sister's indebted to us and we need you to bring us cash money to come visit us in Colombia. Now, I'm already got a point of the movie where I can't remember why it starts the way it does. So this gets interesting. So she first probably rejects it, you know, rejecting the call to adventure or these other calls. Like, and she says, well, I can't bring it down there. Like, I can't bring you cash money for powdered sugar. Like, can't just, you know, oh, well, they don't take it. This is like, I'm getting a deal on it. And then they say, come on, bring it down, your sister. You know, it's accumulating compound interest, Joan. And it'll be seriously compounded. So you got to bring it down. So she finally agrees because her sister says, please, compound interest compounds daily. And so she says, okay, I'll come with cash money. So at some point she departs New York. And I think like her agent or publisher is like, Joan, what are you doing? So maybe she's missing a deadline as well. So this is out of character for her. So then she heads out. Now this is where I get foggy. So I'm missing about 10 minutes, maybe only three, maybe it's just a montage sequence, but somehow she flies to Colombia and she has to get to Cartagena. I know that much. I mean, just from, I don't know why, it's just in my head. And, so I don't know if she has to change flights or she has to take, like, she has to hire a vehicle. But let's go with the assumption she had to hire a vehicle. I don't think this is what actually happened in the movie, but I really can't remember. But I'm pretty sure, okay, let's say she hires a vehicle, it breaks down. It had to travel through, like, some serious rainforest-type jungle. And it's just somehow during that, like where they're trying to repair it, or maybe they say, well, we have to camp for the night while we wait for a part or something. She also wanders off. And this is where she's with the fish out of water sequences. Just they start to begin. She has a high heels on. She doesn't have a raincoat, or if she does, it's not a real raincoat. She has multiple suitcases, which is pretty stereotypical of these things, and she's not prepared Or I don't know. Maybe she's on a bus. I can't remember. I mean, that'd be very good. But then you'd say, I'm from New York City. Of course, I've taken a bus before. But at least in film terms, she wouldn't know how to take a bus. But I don't know. And I'm going to try to, I think I'm going to rewatch this movie because it's been so long. And don't worry, the second movie, I will spoil the plot initial, like very quickly, because I don't remember anything about it, or almost nothing about it. But okay, so Joan gets separated from the, like from whoever she was getting a ride with. I guess this it doesn't make something's not making sense of the randomness of what I remember. So I'm probably wrong in here, but I do remember one of the sequences from the trailer that is like not that big a scene, but so it's pouring rain and she's in a rainforest. It's very muddy. She's in high heels. She's exasperated. She's wandering around. It's pretty dark. And then she accidentally goes down a water slide, just like in Goonies or other movies where you're like, holy cow, this is like every kid's dream. It was my dream. I said, why can't I wander through someplace that's raining, but it's warm? And then I stumble onto a water slide that's made of mud. So she slides down that, which is interesting, which is even funnier because I didn't remember this, but this is a plot point in the second episode of Multiplex, because it's a good device because you can't ever go, but you can't go back to the path you were on. And I just realized that I'm using the same method. So it's a handy storytelling device, I guess, because once you go, you've diverted from the path, but then you can't go return because you've slid down somewhere into a new world. So she slid down and she's in the mud. She's sopping wet. Okay, but this doesn't make sense. Okay, so we have to jump back again. So now more, this is why we do these tales of the tape. So she goes back, like at some point she must have met Michael Douglas's character earlier, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense, because they're actually together on the mudslide. And the only reason for that is a moment that I didn't understand as a young boy that's in there, but like an allusion to when your back sweats. So she must have hired Michael Douglas's character, Jack Colton, to drive her to wherever she has to go from the airport, apparently. I don't know. So I am missing like a chunk of the movie, small chunk. Flies from New York, meets Michael Douglas's character. I would presume he's a down on his luck. She asked three people and he was the last person, and then that he refused, she refused. But they both needed each other. Like he needed the money and no one else could give her a ride. Or maybe she doesn't speak enough Spanish. Or whatever it is, like, so he finally, like, she takes pity on him, they both think they're taking pity on the other person. Okay, fine, you could drive me. Okay, fine, I'll give you a ride. But don't talk to me because you're a New York City big shot. And she's like, and you're a ruffian, expat, rogue or whatever, knave, I don't know. Okay, so that would make more sense. And then they would be, if again, we're sticking with these semi-tropey things that work, is that she's correct, they can't agree on driving or direction. And so then the car breaks down. They're in some sort of Jeep, I would assume. Okay, and then she's like, then she has all this luggage. So of course, yeah, this makes more, it gives it a more immediacy. He's like, I can't believe you have all this luggage, blah, blah, blah. Then they do the mudslide together because they're also under the, like, I just remember they have, they end up together in the mud, and it's like, oh boy, is this foreshadowing? And again, I was just a young lad, so I didn't understand. And I didn't understand foreshadowing or why your back would sweat. So I didn't know any of that. So, but that's the case. Then, so they're soaking wet, right? And then they have to make camp. But they only have like one box of her luggage, maybe her manuscript, hopefully, and the cash money for the powdered sugar loan or whatever. Okay, then there's another sequence I didn't understand. And again, it plays into these tropes, but it worked. They're trying to find some place to make shelter for the night. They find an old plane that had landed there forever and been there a while. And they have to build a fire. And the plane is full of bricks of like of dried grass. And I just did not understand this because, again, I was a little kid. But so they start making the fire from these bricks of dried grass. And Michael Douglas is like breathing in the smoke. I don't know if her character was or whatever, but he like is inhaling the smoke from the dried grass. And he's been detached from our world, the way of life of Joan in the United States or whatever for a while. So they're arguing, but she's also giving him news. The biggest piece of news was that the Doobie Brothers had broken up, it was just when I was thinking of this movie, I said, Doobie Brothers, like, huh? But also, like, as a kid, I didn't know who the Doobie Brothers were. And I still didn't know, let's look up the Doobie Brothers. Because I still didn't realize, I mean, now I do. And I like I love the non-creaky dulcet tones of the Doobie Brothers. But I didn't realize that them breaking up was important enough to be mentioned in a movie and that he would be devastated. Okay, they were formed in 1970 in San Jose, California, Vocal Harmonies. Now, where's the original lineup? I mean, Michael McDonald, the founding members. Oh, this is the current lineup. But the founding members were Tom Johnston, guitars and vocals, Patrick Simmons, Michael McDonald, and John McPhee. And there's other people that have been... they're still performing. See, Johnson provided the vocals for the band from 70 to 75 when they had a mainstream rock sound. Michael McDonald joined in 75 as keyboard player and second lead vocalist. And that kind of gave a new sound to the band. And they were co-lead vocalists on Taking It to the Streets. Johnson retired in 77. And the band broke up in 82. So they had just broken up. And then 87, they got back together, but without Michael McDonald. What a fool believes, am I right? And then he rejoined the band in 2019 for their 50th anniversary. 14 albums, 6 top 10 appearances. What a fool believes. The Best of the Doobies came out in 76. Listen to the music. Jesus Is Just All Right. Long Tame Train Running. China Groove. Black Water, Taking It to the Streets, What a Fool Believes, in The Doctor. I have to listen to The Doctor. That doesn't really help me. Never thought there'd be a 5-minute Doobie Brothers tangent in there. Rosen said, "What? Okay, so this is the name." Yeah, it does have to do with that. But Hartman said he didn't even know what Doobie meant until somebody else told him. But everybody in the band agreed that was kind of a funny name, but they thought they would only use it, but it caught. Okay, so that's the Doobie Brothers, and they broke up. It was a Michael, I mean, not too, well, I'm not familiar, like, I'm not trying to throw any shade, but to me, like, Michael McDonald's voice is what I associate with the Doobie Brothers. But again, I'm not that, I'm like a little aged out. Okay, so back to the movie, which I don't really remember much else about. So he says, I can't believe the Doobie Brothers broke up. By the way, I think essentially we're going to have to hike all the way to Cartagena. Now, at some point, maybe even earlier in the movie, oh, no, yes. Yeah. So at some point, also Danny DeVito. Okay, so this is like gathering moss on missing stones or something. So at some point, Danny DeVito's character is following them, and he's hapless, too. And so he must be having to follow them just in case or something, or, like... even though he's involved in the scheme, and his brother or his partner does not treat him well. So he also gets lost in the forest and everything, but he's trying to keep up with them. Okay, so whatever, they talk about the Doobie Brothers, they loathe each other, Joan and Jack or whatever. Is that his name, Jack Colton? Joan and Jack? And Danny DeVito's character is following them. Then they try, like, this is really my only other memory is, like, they try to cross the country. And at some point, they encounter a guy, Zolo, who is, like a the leader of some group and owns a bunch of land or something. But they're also trying to get away from somebody. Like, so they have adventures, like, what do you call it, tests and adoration, whatever they call it, allies, and he's one of their allies, I think. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's the one chasing them. But I don't know. He seemed like a very flashy character, and he has, like, a car called, like, he's the one who has a truck, and it has, like, extra, like, a nitro boost or something before Fast and Furious. And his thing has like a nickname, his truck, I just remember it says, like, say hello to my, don't worry, we'll take my burrow or something. And they say, but there's three of us. How are we going to take your burrow? And then he says, this is my burrow. And it's some really cool 4x4 truck with nitro. So they get chased, and they must do something for him. So it must be like part of the gathering, you know, the gathering of the things for the allies. And I would assume they separate. At different points, they realize, I'm sure Danny DeVito, probably they encounter him. He probably lies to them. And then they finally get to Colombia, probably reach a point of no return. Like, I guess it would get to the final stage and they would break up. You know, they realize they're in love with each other. And they loathe each other, Joan and Jack. So I'd assume they get almost all the way there. And then they're like, okay, like they've reached some peak. And then they're like, better off we just go our separate ways, huh? And then maybe it's after one last, I think there's like one last action sequence at like an old castle or old fort. And Danny DeVito's character probably changes teams and starts to work for the other side. And then they trick the other brother. And then I would assume that Joan returns and on the plane ride back to New York, she rewrites her next novel now that she's met her character. Oh, because this is the thing I didn't mention the whole time. And I did. You know, Michael Douglas's character is pretty much the same as the character in the novel. And then, you know, of course he returns. And then, so then they make another movie called Jewel of the Nile. And I don't think Kathleen Turner's in it as much as, like, it's Michael Douglas, Danny DeVito. And I think the thing there is, like, they have to find the Jewel of the Nile. There's this one guy who seems like very like a Dalai Lama type character. And they have to get, but he's also, he speaks in riddles, you know, and he's very friendly. And they have to get that guy who knows where the jewel of the Nile is, and then the opposing forces have Joan as their guest, and they're going to exchange the jewel of the Nile as long as they keep this guy who knows where it is, right, for Joan. But then we realize, you were the Santa Claus we needed all along. That's the only thing I remember about this movie. So let's see how wrong or right I was. Okay, so plot on Wikipedia. Okay, Joan Wilder, successful, lonely, romance novelist. Latest novel, she meets Gloria. She gets handed a map that was sent by her brother-in-law. And everybody's in her business. She has a secret map. Then she gets a call from her sister Elaine, who says, that was my husband's map. It's antiquities, people that are after antiquities, Ira and Ralph. So she doesn't need money. She just has to bring this map. It's a Cartagena. So it doesn't have anything to do with powdered sugar. Then Joan, wait a second. So Joan flies there. Then she meets Colonel Zolo, who has been looking for the map. He gets her to board the wrong bus. Okay, so that I was right about, bus riding. Instead of going to Cartagena, it goes deep into the interior. Ralph realizes this and starts to follow Joan. Then Joan distracts the bus driver. It's just an accident. It bumps into a Land Rover. And everybody starts walking but Joan. Joan meets Zolo, but the Land Rover's owner is a bird friend of birds, Jack T. Colton. So I remember this part. He has a bunch of birds. So she says, if you get me out of here into a payphone, I'll give you $375. Okay, so I guess Zolo is not friends with them. He's some sort of, he's involved with some sort of group, trying to be dominant, I guess. So they're trying to elude Zolo. That's the person with the truck, Juan. He's a super fan of Jones. Okay, so that's the person I remember. So somehow they find this guy, Juan. Because he's also a leader of a group. Okay. He's also a super fan of Jones, and he helps him get away from Zolo. They have an interlude, according to this. And then Jack says, why don't we find this treasure or whatever's on this map and then get your sister? Then everything comes together. So you have the Zolo group, Jack and Joan, Ralph, who's sleeping in the back of a car. They follow the clues. They find the treasure. Romancing the stone. Oh, boy. How did it take me that long to forget there's a stone in the movie? 43 minutes. So that's the stone. They find the stone hidden. Okay, then Ralph takes the stone. Then Zolo's team shows up. Then Jack, they cause a distraction. Jack gets it back from Ralph. They go even on more external adventures. River, falling water from, rain. Jack and Joan are separated on opposite sides of a raging river. Joan has a map. Jack has the emerald. Jack says, hey, I'll keep the emerald. You keep the map, and I'll meet you back in Cartagena. So Ira does not know they have the stone, I guess. So they give the map to Ira. She meets up with her sister. Zolo's group has Jack and Ralph and the stone. Okay, then there's Jack shows up, you know, to save the day. There's, you know, everybody's arguing over this emerald. And Jack has a choice, like all these things. Do I want the stone or Joan? And Jack, of course, saves Joan, not the stone. Ira gets away, doesn't help Ralph. So Jack also helps Ralph. But he goes off to try to get the stone after he saves everybody. So then Joan goes back to New York. She's written a new novel. And another bestseller. And then she finds Jack, and he's got a brand new sailboat named the Angelina after the heroine of Joan's novels. And he says, yeah, you sold the emerald for this boat of my dreams. And they head off. Oh, yeah, because I guess I remember them kissing and going on a boat together to head off into the world, you know. There was also other attempts to make other sequels, but or even a remake. They considered in 2007. And it was remade as a television series? Interesting. Okay, let's just see the plot of Jewel of the Nile. That's pretty wrong about it, but how did I forget the plot was that it was romancing the stone? Okay, so next movie takes place 6 months later. The romance has gone stale. Joan's got writer's block, and Jack wants to sail around the world aimlessly while Joan goes back to New York. Then Joan gets hired to write somebody's autobiography. Jack says, "What are you doing?" That's when he bumps into Ralph. Ralph says, "I want the stone, man. It was mine." Okay, then that's when they meet somebody who says that, they say that the guy that Joan's writing the book, the autobiography of, Omar, has the Jewel of the Nile. And so Jack and Ralph are like, let's find Joan and the Jewel of the Nile. And Joan realizes she's not going to write this guy's biography because he's not a client. He's not an enlightened ruler, which he claimed he was. Then Joan encounters who is, in fact, the Jewel of the Nile, who could be an enlightened ruler. And they realize, okay, like we all have to work together. And they all work together. This is some dated stuff, it seems like, but Joan tells Jack the jewel is not a gemstone, but a person. And then they use a British rock promotion special to convince one guy's going to convince him that he's a prophet. And then, you know, there's more actions, like, with a scenario from Joan's book. Then everything happens in the end. Joan and Jack get separated. They use a crane. And in the end, Joan and Jack get married by the Jewel of the Nile. Ralph's happy for them, but he didn't get any money. But then he gets some money in the end, and everybody's happy. So it's interesting. Here's something interesting. From the Jewel of the Nile, When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going by Billy Ocean. And The Jewel of the Nile by Precious Wilson were playing the movie. Douglas Turner and DeVito also co-starred with Ocean in the MTV video. Soundtrack also features Houdini's Interesting Folks Come Out at Night. No Sheep Are Sleeping Tonight by somebody. But this song was a huge hit. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Billy Ocean, man, classic. So let's see, description. It was Wayne Braithwaite, Barry Eastman, Mutt Lang, and Ocean. It was the theme song for the movie. Saxophone Special by Vernon Jeffrey Smith. It was a hit. It climbed the charts, but it was outpaced by How Will I Know by Whitney Houston. Critical reception. It was a very slick U.S. pop number, but lacked the substance. Might say, Scoots, who's Billy Ocean? I'd say, well, you might be missing out then. Leslie Sebastian Charles, better known as Billy Ocean, is a singer and songwriter. And sang Love Really Hurts Without You, Red Light, Caribbean Queen, No More Love on the Run. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Don't Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. And that spans like a long time. That was 88. A lot of movies, like hits for films, actually. Or a couple, but I don't even know. Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. Was that like a driver's license movie? Or was that the name of the movie? We're really digging deep here. Yeah, it's a Billy Ocean based on a line from Sherman Brothers song. And Billy Ocean song. It was a number one music video. It has Billy. Oh yeah, it was from the 1988 film License to Drive, which was a team comedy film with the two Coreys in it. Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, Heather Graham, Carol Kane. Believe it or not, that came out in 88, I think. It was 88 minutes, man. $8 million budget, $22 million box office. It was in production in 87 and released in 88. That one's about kid that gets his license to drive. I don't know. We need to know much more about it. Reception. 2 million, yeah. Critical response was negative. 24% approval rating by critics. Despite a hardworking cast and a premise, it's a silly comedy. Maybe you seek out better films. Generally unfavorable reviews. More than passable summer entertainment. Music. Drive My Car by The Breakfast Club. Sweet Surrender by Brenda Kay, Star. I Feel Free by Belinda Carlisle. Time Starts Now by The Boys Club. Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car by Billy Ocean. Crucial by New Edition. One More Dance by Jonathan Butler. Jazzy's in the House by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Touch and Go by Femme Fatale. And Make Some Noise by Raiders. And then there was other films that weren't on the soundtrack. Mercedes Boy by Pebbles. I don't know how that's not on the soundtrack. Rush Hour by Jane Wiedland. Strangers in the Night, Frank Sinatra. That's Life, Frank Sinatra. Waiting for the Big One, Femme Fatale. And Trouble by Nia Peoples. Interesting. There was a reboot of this movie. They were developing a reboot in 2017. There was an unmade sequel in trilogy. License to Fly. There could have been another one, a third installment called License to Dive. But yeah, I mean, I guess I highly recommend, I'm interested to see Argyle, and I probably will watch Romancing the Stone before I see Argyle. I'm looking forward to it, always nice to take a meandering run down these type of paths. So thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scoots here, and I just want to thank the people who are joining us over on Sleep With Me Plus. I really appreciate it. I want to thank Catherine, Susie, and Katarine. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Tracy, Michael, and Janae. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Austin, Shannon, and Marta. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Chloe, Andrew, and Scott. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Wouter, Jenica, and Sarah. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Alex, Craig, and Luke. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Patty, Kurt, and Tony. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Dean, Craig, and Stacy. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Zaria, Regina, and Rachel. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Kelly, Alec, and Bonnie. Thanks, thanks, and good night, everybody. Thank you, everybody, who supports the show directly. That's how we're able to come out free twice a week. Whether you support the show on Apple Podcasts, you're a patron, or you support the show on Sleep With Me Plus, or you support the sponsors, we all appreciate it. In a free way, you say, oh, man, I want some of that Sleep With Me Plus ad-free or story-only content. Yeah, you could get it for free by referring people. Just sign up for our referral program at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. And people are earning 6 months regularly now on the referral program. So thanks, thanks, and good night. And here's Scoots with a tuck you in message. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month? And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.